Hello and welcome to another episode of the U Down with OBP podcast. I'm Nick. I'm joined as always by James. James, what's up, man?
Same old Nick. You know, I'm excited to have baseball. I'm excited to talk baseball, and it's always a treat. But why don't you introduce? I should ask, how are you doing? I'm just jumping right into it.
I'm doing pretty well. Baseball is back. You had the Marlins thing early on, and now the Cardinals with their situation, games have been postponed, as everybody knows. But otherwise, I'm pretty optimistic about the baseball season. So, yeah, let's get right into it. We haven't had an episode in a while, but we actually did record one right before the season started. But due to audio issues, we had to nix it. We just scrapped it. And we had talked about National League DH candidates. Some of the guys we talked about were Howie Kendrick and Yoenis Cespedes. Cespedes has since opted out, but Kendrick is still a really good guy, and he's not owned in that many leagues, so I still recommend him. And we also talked about one of the articles I had on the udownwithobp.com website, which was about contact managing pitchers. And two of the main guys that I highlighted in that were Aaron Civale, who has started off pretty well, and Rich Hill, who, surprise, surprise, is injured. But so I just want to touch on that. And today's topic is going to be talking about the early 2020 surprises. So what do you say we get right into it, James?
Let's get right into it, man. I'm excited to talk shop. I will say I bought into Civale after reading your article, and I'm pretty pleased on it. For those not, we won't talk too much about it, but me and Mick have actually finally been in the same league together. And in that league, I picked up Civale, and he's helped me out so far. So biggest surprises of the year, Mick sent me some notes on who he wants to talk about. And I'll jump in there and just say, I don't know if it's exactly a surprise or not, but one guy I just kind of want to talk about, and this is kind of a curveball for you, Mick, but I've been pretty pleased with Laureano so far, Ramon Laureano. So I wouldn't call him a surprise, but I would say, you know, last year he started to meet some expectations, but to me, it looks like he's kind of turning into the player that we kind of hoped he would. You know, he's starting to hit with a little bit of power. The stolen bases aren't exactly there yet, but it's still so early. It's a small sample size, but decent average. And have you looked at Laureano at all? Or
yeah, I have Laureano in my Dynasty League, and I love him. He's been really good. One thing I noticed about Laureano was that he's never been a guy who's known for his plate discipline. Usually he's around like 5% walk rate, which is not great. This year he's at 13% walk rate. He's being very patient and picky with when he swings, but when he does swing, he is making good contact and swinging at the pitches that he wants to swing at. So that's been I think that's a big reason why he's having the success he is.
And I would say, and you're the guy to talk this to, you know, about this, so I'm probably shooting from the hip as always, but that seems like a statistic that's fairly indicative of the ability to continue with it. You know, if somebody's getting lucky with swings and putting it over the second baseman's head a couple times when they don't normally, you know, that might inflate his statistics. But being patient at the plate is a learned skill that you would think he can continue with going forward. He's probably not available in most leagues, so he might not exactly be, you know, appropriate for this topic. But as a target to trade for, I think he's been not necessarily a surprise, but a surprise to me, because I've always liked Laureano. And I don't know. I mean, I guess he finished pretty strongly last year. Is that right? Or
yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right.
So I think he's probably just proven what he did in the back half 2019. But for me personally, as somebody that's kind of liked him for the past 2 years, 2019 and 2018, to kind of own his shares again and see him playing well is interesting to me, and somebody that I targeted back then, kind of lost track of, targeted again, and I'm surprised that he's kind of living up to what I was hoping he'd be doing. So it sounds like we're both fairly bullish on Laureano.
You are absolutely right about the second half of last season. He had a 782 OPS in the first half and then a 1090 in the second half. That's a 184 WRC plus. And he see a little tick up in his walk percentage. It went from 5 to 7 in the second half. And this year is just getting even better. And he's the type of guy that both you and me always target, which is that guy who's going to give you power and speed. And that transitions well into one guy who has been a huge surprise and a boon for the people who drafted him, and that's Trent Grisham. So Trent Grisham, he got traded from the Brewers to the Padres in the offseason. He was getting drafted around like 266. He's currently the 12th ranked fantasy player. I feel like we should have seen this coming more. Last year combined minors and majors, he had 32 home runs and 13 stolen bases. And much like Ramon Laureano, he's very patient at the plate. He's got a walk rate that's always near 15%, you know, in the minors. And now, so far in the season, he's showing power and speed. And the thing about the Padres is that they are letting them run. They're giving green lights to everybody. So Tommy Pham, Trent Grisham, they're all up there with steals. Trent Grisham has 4 home runs and 3 steals. And I think you can expect a, you know, I'm not great at the prorating the season to 60 games or whatever you want to say. But in a normal season, this is a 20 home run, 20 steal type of guy. So I think next year he'll probably be drafted in the top 100 or something like that if he keeps this up.
Yeah, I love it. You know, so he's definitely somebody to target. And like you said, he's the kind of guy that we both kind of drool over when it comes to being a pretty solid all around player, I think is the best way to put it. Right. You know,
for sure.
If you're going to be able to get some home runs, you're going to be able to bring in some bags, but you're also going to be able to get some runs because you're getting on base. And then if you're stealing bags, it's going to give you more runs. Basically, it's just kind of the total package. So maybe you're not getting the extremes of a one category guy, but when you spread it all out, those are kind of the guys we love. And I think those are the guys that allow us to then target somebody that might be more in one specific wheelhouse.
100%. I love those guys. I still got Puig in my NA spot. You know, he hasn't signed with anybody. He was supposed to sign with the Braves, but then he got COVID. But Puig is one of those guys who, even though he's not the superstar we thought he was going to be when he was a rookie, he's always offering like 20 home runs, almost 20 steals. And I just love that type of guy.
Oh, yeah. So I want to switch gears a little bit. And we've been talking about some batters, but I want to tip my hat to you. And you're the reason why I targeted him. And I'm going to talk about a pitcher for a second here. How much are you loving this early start from Sonny Gray?
I'm so pumped because, yeah, I was, you know, I planted my flag on Sonny Gray all offseason. Like, this guy is an ace, but he's not being drafted like an ace. He gets drafted around like 100 overall. I have Sonny Gray in every single one of my leagues except the one I'm in with you, because you and me got in a bidding war. It was an auction. And at some point I was like, oh, I'm just going to let Jamie have him so he can enjoy Sonny Gray too. I've already got so many shares of him. I love Sonny Gray, and I think he's going to continue to be an ace.
Yeah, you know, I got the chance. I do the package every year where you can watch the games on your iPad or whatever. And so I got a chance to watch a game or two, and he looks awesome too. You know, it's not, you know me, I always like to do the eye test, you know, maybe even to a detriment. But he looks fantastic out there. It's just weird that he has those shitty years in between his good years, you know. But he's definitely proven it, and he could be a top, you know, 5 pitcher by the end of the year. He's already doing that, but it doesn't look like he's got any signs of slowing down. I don't really know what their schedule looks like, but yeah, he's definitely somebody that I think it might be a little tough to target at this point. You know, maybe wait till he has a shitty start, but he's somebody that we both believe in, and I'm glad that I think pretty much every podcast we've had for like the past 4 podcasts, you've had some mention of Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
So it's fun to watch him just kind of prove what you've been spouting for so long.
The early victory lap, as they say on fantasy baseball Twitter.
It's a little early lap. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
One guy, and I'm just like, you know, I was looking at the things that you put here. One guy that jumped out to me, and I feel like I might have asked you about him before, and I don't know too much about him. I was just kind of farting around with the free agents that I wanted to ask you about, is Renato Nunez. Have you been paying attention to him at all?
No, but I did hear Alex Fast, who's one of the guys from Pitcherlist, mention him this morning on his podcast. And he was saying that Nunez is greatly improved.
Yeah, so I haven't really watched the Birds or the Orioles played too much this year, so I haven't been able to see what he looks like when he's up there in the batter's box. But his numbers look pretty solid. You know, I think he's got like 5 dingers already. And for the Orioles, I think he has a fair amount of runs and RBIs too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like
13 runs. 11 yeah. RBIs. Yep.
And the other thing is he's 26. I think he's 26.
Yep.
I don't know. Did he have a lot of like, is he one of these guys where you see his production and you say, hey, it's probably just a guy who's hot right now? Or did he have some kind of blue chip status to him at any point?
I think he was a prospect. He was on the A's and then he got traded to the Orioles. And from what I've heard, Baltimore, you know, Camden Yards just fits him. It's great for righty power. He had 31 home runs last year, but I think he got overlooked because he had a .244 average. Plus, he was on a shitty team, so people kind of ignore him.
Last year, home runs too. 30 home runs. It's like, you know, last year was the home run year too. I think this year it seems like we're back to a little bit more of a normal home run pace. The last I looked.
Yeah, it'll be interesting what they say about the ball. If the ball is juice, we'll probably be getting that info pretty soon. Or less juiced, I should say. But Renato Nunez is still only owned in 51% of leagues. And there was one thing I was thinking just off the top of my head was that Baltimore home games, as the season goes on and as Baltimore's hotter, the ball carries out of Camden Yards more. Well, we're already in July. We started the season in July, rather. We're already in August. So basically, we're in the prime Camden Yards time period. So you can expect Renato Nunez to have great, great power numbers at least, and probably, you know, improved across the board stats going forward.
Yeah, if the ball is flying out of the park easier, it's not going to hurt his average, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think, you know, I picked him up just because I have him in my my league that we I guess it's not called the Dynasty League, but you know, we have our keepers that you can keep forever. And Joe Adell's in my minor league spot, and I'm going to keep him down there, obviously. But in this one, I picked him up just for shits and giggles. But I think I might drop him and just ride Nunez. Well, he's hot, right? It's only a 60-game season, so I have no problem dropping people and picking people up, especially, you know, if, hey, say it gets colder in friggin' September. Well, I'll ride Nunez for the month of August into, you know, mid-September or what have you. I think, you know, from what I've read, I think he's going to be good throughout and he's going to be worth picking up. So he's a guy I would say is worth targeting from just, you know, looking at what he did last year and 5 home runs already this year. So who would you like to talk about next?
I was thinking about we had talked about Sonny Gray. And I had planted my flag and then did my victory lap, every cliche in the book, you want to say. But a guy who I was down on was Trevor Bauer. And I talk about Trevor Bauer as the antithesis of Sonny Gray, because Sonny Gray is great, but then he has these blow up years. Well, Trevor Bauer's career has been pretty mediocre, like ERA in the fours. And then he had that 1 year, 2 years ago when he almost won a Cy Young. Well, this year he's been dealing, right? He has a 0.68 ERA and a 0.53 whip. Now, he's not a surprise in the sense that people other than me were up on him, right? Drafting him in the first, like, 6-7 rounds, I think. But he is a surprise to me just because I hated on him quite a bit. And I took my victory lap with Sonny, so I might as well, you know, take my lumps with Trevor.
Yeah, you know, I kind of have a blind spot for him, to be honest. You know, I wasn't down on him like you are, but I kind of like, and this is an extreme example, but I almost in you know, I have just a category that I lump people in, and I obviously thought he was a better player than this, but he was one of those guys that to me always seemed like he had good stuff but wasn't really going to put it together, like a Lance McCullers almost, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he kind of fell into that Lance McCullers kind of category with me, where it's like, hey, you know, I like when he's on, I like watching him deal, but who knows if he's going to be on. So, you know, I would say you're going to probably take your lumps with it, but just like I said, it's early with Sonny Gray. You know, I think that everybody feels like Trevor Bauer has it in him to go out there and friggin' deal for a few games, but is he going to do it for the whole season? With that being said, it's a shortened season. So if he can get hot for what would normally be about a third of a season, which I'm sure he has in the past, even in the shitty seasons, then, hey, it doesn't matter. You know, this is a freak season. So, but that might be discrediting, you know, Trevor Bauer. Maybe he's figured something out and he's going to do it for his career. He's also one of those guys that his name is always out there. You know, He's a verbose guy. He's not afraid to speak his mind. So I also thought, and this has nothing to do with real statistics and hard numbers or anything else, but I also kind of lumped him in a category in my head where it's like, you're probably going to overpay for this guy because, you know, he's just kind of there. You know, he's in the spotlight a lot. It's almost like when you draft a guy and you're drafting in a league with your buddies and everybody's from, say, Boston. You know, you don't want to go out and overpay for a guy because, you know, everybody wants to go get those Boston guys. You know, or a guy, you know, like in fantasy football, I think it happens more. I think we're a little more statistically minded in the baseball world, which is why I like fantasy baseball so much more. But you're always going after some guy who was good for a few years and he's kind of in his twilight season because you remember that. And basically, there's just certain things that might not even really have to do with how good they're going to be that stand out in the front of your mind. And Trevor Bauer is just always in the news. You know, always hearing Trevor Bauer. So I think that generally speaking, he probably gets drafted a little early in leagues where there's people that might not be as statistically minded. But I hope it continues. You know, I don't wish him ill at all. Yep. And it's good to point that out as well. I want to ask you about Yastrzemski. You know me, I got to ask about Yastrzemski.
Yes.
As a Boston guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I didn't realize about him when I was looking at what you sent over? I didn't realize he's friggin' 30 years old. I always think of him as like a young gun. Did he really, was he playing a lot, say, 2.5 years ago? Like,
I'm pretty sure last year was his rookie year.
So that's what I thought. Yeah.
28-year-old rookie. And he's about to turn 30 in a couple of days. So yeah, he's definitely a late bloomer, kind of was a journeyman, and now all of a sudden he's found his stroke. I'm not sure if he's a, you know, launch angle revolution type guy who altered his swing, but I do know that he's legit. You know what I mean? Last year he had an 852 OPS and 22 home runs in 371 at bats, and that's in San Francisco. It's hard to hit home runs as a lefty in San Francisco. And I remember stats in the offseason that this guy is barreling the ball really well, and he's hitting the ball in that sweet spot. This year, he's got an OPS over 1,000. He's raking again, and he's owned in 80% of leagues. So in some leagues, he's still available, but this guy's legit.
Yeah, you know, I think too, just as a general pattern I've seen, I think people are a little slower just in general on the waiver wire and stuff this year than you would be in most years. Maybe it's just a lack of enthusiasm a little bit. You know, people being kind of weary of what's going to happen with the season. They might not be as invested as they normally are. But I love it. And I was blown away that he was 30 because I felt like I started hearing his name last year. But, you know, basically, if you're watching the Sox broadcast, if Yastrzemski is doing anything, you know, the guys are going to talk about it. Remy and the guys. So that's pretty fun for me just as a Boston guy to see him doing well. And I might want to go out and get him just because I have a sentimental stake in it, so to speak. So I'd say that's pretty good for what we've covered for some surprises this year. Let's shoot for one more. I want to ask you about a guy that I think is pretty divisive. You know, there's believers in him and there's people that think he's a bag of dog shit. And that's Dansby Swanson. So you sent me over some notes. So he's batting, right? He's playing really well. And he's ranked fifth, I think, right now. I guess he's had hot streaks before in the beginning, but then he usually kind of gets banged up. I am not one really, unless it depends on the injury, right? Like an elbow or something. But generally speaking, I think that like the idea of clutch hitting is kind of bogus for the most part. You know, there might be extreme examples, but for statistically speaking, I think it's a little hard to justify saying somebody's clutch or not. And I also think injury prone is another thing that gets thrown around too loosey goosey. You know, it depends on the injury, but if you get freak injuries, you know, it doesn't really have anything to do with it. Like concussions, obviously in other sports, you're going to get more of them, but there's certain injuries that are just freak injuries. So are you a Swanson believer? Where are you with him?
I think he's overperforming a little bit, for sure. Even though he's ranked fifth, he only has two home runs. I think the three stolen bases kind of boosts up his ranking when you when you do the fantasy baseball rankings. Some of the reasons why I think he's overperforming, he's got a 452 BABIP. That is definitely going to go down. He's a career 305 BABIP
guy.
What
would you say a more likely BABIP is? I mean, and obviously there's guys who just, you know, as we've discussed, just career-wise typically have higher or lower BABIPs. But what would you say like a normal one is again, like low 300s?
Yeah, I think so. I think low 300s or up to 330 is fairly normal. So 452 is pretty crazy. There was one guy who I put on the list that I sent over, Kyle Lewis, who currently has a 545 BABIP. Kyle Lewis is definitely playing over his head. So that's another guy along with Swanson who is overperforming. That being said, Swanson did have an 822 OPS last year before the All-Star break. And like you said, the second half was riddled with injuries. He had a heel injury and then a hand injury. So that 822 OPS came along with 17 home runs, and he offers you a little bit of speed. Dansby Swanson is decent, so I picked him up in two drafts really late. So far, I'm reaping the rewards of that. But I don't expect him to, you know, end up anywhere near, obviously, fifth overall. But he's a solid guy who you can put in as your shortstop or your middle infielder, and he should continue to give you, just if this were a 162-game season, he's a guy who will give you close to 20 home runs and 10 stolen bases. He's also a pedigree guy because he was a former number one overall pick.
I know he's like a blue-chip guy.
Yep.
The thing that surprised me in the stats you sent over with him, in your what you would say, hey, let's just fuck around and guess what he would do in a normal season, and you put it at 20. I'm surprised he had friggin' 17 home runs before the All-Star break, because I think one of the big knocks, if I recall correctly, on him is that he doesn't really have that strong, you know, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's going to put out 35, 40 home runs in a normal season. So that surprised me. But if they're letting him run, if he's free on the bases, I think that's going to be the difference maker in how good Dansby Swanson can be from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah. It's crazy. He had 17 home runs in the first half. Second half, zero. In 142 at-bats, zero home runs. So his power got sapped. So his value in drafts went way down. But I think the guy that we're seeing right now, combine it with last year. So you're getting a guy, like I said, near 20 home runs, 10 stolen bases. The average is going to drop. Right now it's around 300, but it's going to drop. Maybe it's a little bit of an average detriment, but he's pretty much going to be productive for you going forward.
Yeah, it's at a position that, you know, it's kind of hard to find guys at times.
Although shortstop, you know, these days is, you know, super talented, so many guys. And it makes sense because when you're in the minor leagues, they're putting the most talented, athletic guys at shortstop. And so nowadays, there's better hitting shortstops than there are first basemen. You know, shortstops overall are outperforming positions like first base, which is just like unheard of for us growing up in the 90s.
Yeah. Shortstop was my favorite position to watch when I was a kid. You know, I think we've talked about it before when we did our, just for shits and giggles, we talked about our favorite players at each position when we were baseball dry and looking for things to talk about. And for me, like probably the first thing I think about when I think about baseball in general would be like Nomar, Jeter, A-Rod, and Tejada. In the late 90s, and how much fun watching baseball was at that point.
Yeah. And those guys were kind of like the outliers, though. It was like, what?
Yeah.
Shortstop? Like, that's like the position you put the guy who's good at fielding, but, you know, has a 600 OPS, but not anymore. Yeah.
So I think that's pretty good. So we can, let's just kind of, I would say, talking about who we like and don't like. Swanson, we think, don't reach for him, but if you can get him at a value, he's probably going to give you some value.
Yeah.
Kyle Lewis, we didn't really touch on him too much, but probably steer clear of him. Sonny Gray, we're both very bullish on. Bauer, I think you're a little more sold on him than I am, but he's probably another guy that target, but I don't know if you're going to get any, if you're going to get him at value.
It's hard. You know, if you're trading for Bauer right now, you're going to be paying a premium. And it's only down from here, obviously.
You know, he's not going to have a
done, but it's only down
sub 0.7 ERA for the rest of the season, you know, or a half a point whip. I think that Savali is somebody to target for sure, personally. Sonny Gray, again, similar to Bauer, he might continue like this, but I don't think he's going to be any better than he is.
Of course.
So best case scenario, you're paying what he's worth. Worst case scenario, you're probably paying a little too much. Renato Nunez, it sounds like we both think, hey, go out and get him if he's on the waiver wire.
For sure.
We got Yaz. I think we both like Yaz. So yep. If you have a chance to go out and get him, go do it. And I think that's pretty much
and
Laureano and Trent Grisham, yeah, who are kind of very similar in their skill sets. If you can get either of those guys for any sort of value, go for it. I think Laureano went kind of high in drafts because of his back half of last year. You know, I like those guys that had a little bit of blue chip coming in and then an off year and then played well. You know, at least you have two different indicators that they should be good besides just their small sample size. You know, if people were thinking they were going to be good going into it. Two things I'd like to touch on quickly, and we're doing a shorter episode to keep it tight for everybody. But we are big fans of two guys, and we talk about them every podcast. So I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about them this podcast, Joey Gallo and the Franimal. So I'll start with the Rooster first, Joey Gallo. And I'm happy with what we're seeing from Joey Gallo so far. Three home runs. He's batting .250. He's got absolutely no help on either side of him, it looks like, for the beginning of the season. I think he's only got something like 6 or 7 runs and 6 or 7 RBIs for his three dingers, you know, and for batting .250. But you know what I love about Joey Gallo right now? You can probably guess.
What?
He has 2 stolen bases.
Yeah, he always chips in.
I think that the Rangers, and this is from not a ton of research, just from checking box scores every once in a while, but the Rangers seem to be very aggressive on the base path for 2020.
Yeah, I mentioned the Padres and the Mariners are another team that's letting their young guys run, and I think the Rangers are 3rd in the league in stolen bases.
Excellent. Yeah, I believe it. And they're getting them from a lot of different people, too. I mean, Joey Gallo has 2 stolen bases already.
Yeah.
In a shortened season, he might have 8 stolen bases, say. I don't think, you know, I'm not like going to guess 10 or something. I'm not going to try to prorate it. But, yeah, so let's call it 6. Let's call it 5. But it wouldn't be unusual to get 5 bags at him in a shortened season. He's probably going to get another 10 home runs. And so, you know, I think for me, for Joey Gallo, and it's so weird with the 60-game season, but I just fucking love he's betting .250. You know, and a lot of what we talk about this year is so weird, but especially if people were doing this season as if it's a normal one, I think he's worth a guy to get maybe on the cheap and keep, because he's been batting for average for a decent amount of time now. You know, last season he batted for average, you know, and when I say batted for average, I mean, he's batting over friggin' .220,
yeah,
which is what people expect from him.
But he was at .270, .280 for the first half of the season, at least. And then he got a little banged up. He slumped big time. And then his season, as if I recall correctly, his season was just sort of cut short, right?
He got hurt.
But to get .250 from him, it's great. If he hit .250, he would have been drafted higher than he even was. I was pissed not to get him anywhere, but he's great. And I heard a quote from the Rangers manager. I don't know if you heard this, but he said every day he comes to the ballpark, he's the most talented player at the ballpark. And I think Woodward was saying that about, you know, the Rangers as well as the teams they play. That's how highly he thinks of.
And we've talked about it in the past, and the one thing I guess that's difficult is that he doesn't seem to be having too much help around him right now. That's not something you can control. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think that Joey Gallo in a normal season in the next 5 years has a decent shot. If not, I'm not going to say an MVP, but I think he's going to have a decent shot at getting some MVP votes in certain seasons, you know, in some seasons. Yeah. You know, I really do. I think if he can go knock 45, 50 home runs, which we all know he can, right? Yep. That's not going to be anything crazy. Bat .250, get 12 stolen bases. You know, he has a chance to be, he's not going to be probably an MVP, but he has a chance to be in that conversation, I think.
For sure.
And then we'll briefly touch on the Franimal.
Okay, La Mole.
La Mole. He's playing pretty well. You know, I think he started slow, but the past, I don't know, you know, a lot of times they don't count today's stats when you look at them, and it's such a short season that, but the past three games, he's had two hits each game. I think he's got two home runs so far.
Yeah, he hit a ding-dong today, so
yeah,
that was his second.
Yep, so, you know, he's not really turning heads for good, better or worse right now, but it seems like he's getting hot right now. So what are your thoughts on the Franmil? Well, I guess there's not too much to go with for what he's been doing right at this point.
I saw a quote, I forget who said it, but they were like, he just wants to help the team so bad. And I remember last year, there was a similar vibe after he joined the Indians, and maybe he was pressing a little bit. And a lot of times you can tell if a guy's pressing by his pop-up rate. And last year, his pop-up rate, it spiked after he went to the Indians. But maybe we're seeing something similar. He really wants to help the team. I'm sure he'll settle in. And I don't think there's too much to worry about. This guy had, 37 home runs last year?
He's got a killer lineup around him. What did he bat, like, sixth with that kind of numbers? So, yeah, I'd say Franmil, just business as usual. We still are high on him, and we're excited to see where it goes. I just got a text as we were talking, and I think we'll just briefly touch on one last thing. A text that said there's rumors college football is going to get nixed this year.
Wow.
So I don't know. It's literally just some dude that I'm friends with saying that. But, you know, I think what the the Ivy League is already canceled, right?
I did not know that.
You know, in the past, they were the first one to cancel their games for basketball last year. And uh-huh. I thought I might have saw that they were canceled. Maybe it's just a rumor again. But anyways, this isn't a college football podcast. But baseball, it sounds like you're feeling pretty positive about what the season's going to entail. You think that we're going to get a full season? We're not going to see it next?
Yeah, I'm looking up in Ivy League. Yeah, they canceled back in early July. So yeah, you're right on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of MLB, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm less optimistic about football, you know, all the contact, bigger rosters, things like that. But I'm cautiously optimistic that the MLB will be able to finish this season.
Yeah, I am, but for different reasons than you are, I think, in that, like, if they haven't already, you know what I mean? Like, if fucking 17 Marlins got COVID and we're just business as usual chugging along at this point, I think that they're going to, whether or not they should be, I think that Manfred and, you know, the higher ups are just going to make sure this season gets done regardless. But I'm excited for it. You know, I'm a little bit down on the season just because the Red Sox are abysmal. But yeah. Fantasy baseball is keeping me invested. It's still fun to watch really talented guys go out there. But, you know, this is probably even when we started like shit and really didn't finish well either last year, I was still more invested. But this year with the Red Sox, I probably only caught a 4 or 5 games out of the 15 they've played, which is unusual for me. But I am trying to watch other games. I like to watch games with the pitchers that I'm into. It's still fun watching guys just ball out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm optimistic for it. You know, I'm probably at like an 80% compared to where I normally am.
Uh-huh.
And that might even be a little bit more just the Red Sox being so goddamn terrible than it is the season itself. So yeah, I'm excited for it. Football, I don't think it's going to happen. We'll see. So we're both high on baseball, or high-ish, cautiously optimistic. And I think that for this evening, we covered a lot of fun guys. Personally, it's just a fucking blast talking about baseball again. I hope that our enthusiasm comes through to the listeners. I hope our fans out there are amped for the season. And I'm excited to do more of these. And I apologize we haven't done one in a while. But as Mick said, we had some technical difficulties. I'm going to be honest, too. And some of what we talked about was guessing where the season was going. Some changes happened. So some of this stuff wasn't as relevant as it would have been, you know, a week before. And I think we decided, hey, just can it. But Mick, do you have anything to add for this evening?
Yeah, we talked about a lot of fun guys today. Some surprises, guys who we think are going to keep it up. We touched on Aaron Civale a little bit. Another guy who we didn't talk about was Zach Plesac, who is another Cleveland Indian. And that pitching staff is unreal, right? Shane Bieber is the number one pitcher in fantasy right now and in real baseball. And then number two, they got Clevinger, followed by Cookie Carrasco, who is back from cancer and dealing. And then Aaron Civale and Zach Plesac. So that is a 1-5 that is dominant. You know, all of a sudden, people thought maybe the Indians' window of opportunity was closing. They have a way of just churning out pitchers and improving pitchers. Yeah. Like, we had talked about Aaron Civale in the past, didn't strike people out. I think he struck out 18 people in 12 innings. So they unlock another gear for these guys.
Pulling up the Indians, you know, their bats are underperforming right now. But, you know, Lindor, Jose Ramirez, Santana, the Franimal. I kind of like the lineup of the Shields. That's not a lineup to, you know, underestimate.
For sure. And Jose Ramirez looks to be the good Jose Ramirez. Not the crappy one we saw 2 years ago and at the beginning of last year. Right.
Yeah. He's a streaky motherfucker.
He's a streaky guy. But yeah, I think he had two dingers yesterday or the day before. And he's a guy that we love on the podcast because he's probably, what, 5'8". He's kind of a rotund guy, but he hits for power.
Hey, sneaky fast, too.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So I'll sign off for everybody with one last thing. The Rooster hit a bomb tonight, Mick. I don't know if
Heck
you saw
yeah.
Two-run home run for Joey Gallo. Everybody who's listening loves Joey Gallo. I love Joey Gallo. Let's hope he hits another one tonight. And thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great night.
Take care.